T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Long, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
Yes, indeed, we're back at it on this chilly Saturday. The good news is, guys, good morning, by the way, it's now above zero.
Isn't that a treat?
It's two above. And if you're just joining us, welcome to the Real Estate Show. If you have any kind of a real estate question for Chris or Andy, call it in or text it in. Before we say hi, here are the numbers, 651-989-9226. Text, as usual, 81807. What's going on since we spoke last? How was the week,
Andrew?
Well, I tell you, I had a fair week. I think that there was quite a few showings. Saw some good activity with buyers out there again. It is cold. I mean, and I know it sounds weird, but the weather, people say, we'll do it next week or whatever. If it's beautiful weather, they seem to say, let's do it right now. The phone does ring when the sun's out in the winter. And so last couple, if you paid attention, it's kind of cloudy this last week.
Yep.
And cool. And so, but usually Super Bowl Sunday is the big launch of the, I shouldn't say it's not that day, but it's pretty darn close to that window of when the spring market takes off.
You know, we talk a lot about pricing segments and what gets hot and what's not. And we put one on this week, on Friday. Mm-hmm. By Friday at 5 o'clock, we had 17 showings set up.
Wow.
And it was $289.9 in Apple Valley. And it's just crazy. Now, all those showings were set up. Now, there were some on Saturday as well. But and then multiple offers right away. So there's some good – I mean, that's what I tell people. Get your house ready and be prepared. And when the agent says, hey, it's good right now, grab it. And how you do that is just kind of check what is the activity like of those listings in the last 14 days. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you check everything. You know, if things have gone off the market, things have come on, new listings, or what's gone pending.
Yeah.
Because you can tell quick and then you can jump on, you know, a proactive market.
So on your end of town, are you seeing – on the north side, I'm kind of seeing where the under 300, of course, is as hot as it can get. And then it's kind of the over six. And then everything in the middle has been just really kind of limping along, you know. I don't know. Are you seeing that in the South Metro, too?
Yeah, but do you think – I think there's a lot of homes in that range as well. And I think once you get a lot of homes in that range, it's kind of people got choices. And I think when they have a ton of choices, what they do is they typically wait for more choices to come.
Sure.
And when there's not a lot of choices, they grab it because they don't think anything's coming.
Correct.
And so to me, that's I think when you get oversaturated in some markets, and I think some of those are created markets. And what I mean by that is that there might be to-be-builts. You know, and you look at one, Lakeville was one that I was looking at, and there's like 60-some homes in a price bracket, but there's like 11 of them that you could actually move into right away.
And so explain to me, why would a real estate agent do that?
Well, you're giving them options out there. So, I mean, if there's not things out there, so say you're not going to build just a ton of specs, but you might be able to throw out there and say, hey, you know what? We're going to be able to put this Rambler on this lot.
Yeah.
You'll be able to get this with renderings and good pictures of something before.
Yep.
And it's $1.2 million. And that might fit somebody's, you know, area that they're looking at. And, you know, you kind of create a sell that way.
Well, I was going to say we do that as a tool in the North Metro as well, where we'll have like maybe we, for an example, we'll have one 5-bedroom house for sale just to see if we get any nibbles on 5-bedroom. So we kind of helps us predict, you know, with kind of an educated guess, if you will, by knowing how many clicks we're getting, how many viewings we get, which direction, you know, the marketplace is kind of heading for demand. So we will put Ramblers or a split entry or a two-story, or we'll try different styles of homes. But the idea there I was going to kind of get to, too, is that with the variety, I think also with the quantity, that's where most home builders will start, is actually in that, you know, high 300s to low 400s. Because of the price of the land and the houses that are being, you know, purchased, that's kind of where new construction has been really starting. I mean, granted, I have a few of them that are under 300, but very few. And so I think that also is where—
Do they come with a lot?
Yeah, exactly.
Those other threes?
Yeah, they do. But the idea there is that that's where a lot of that, you said, like you said, it's kind of inventory that could be. It's right. Not necessarily up and sitting there collecting dust yet, but it's on its way.
But it does confuse some people sometimes, and if you don't kind of really— look at the data and what's out there, you know, if you're listing a home in that price range, an existing mm-hmm. home, you know, you kind of got to, it's a different thing. I mean, and building is a different thing.
Right.
And typically it's going to cost you more because you're paying for absolutely everything that you put into it, but you're getting everything that you want as well.
Right. Well, and you know, the other thing is it'd be interesting, you know, Denny, if you think about this too, if we were to take those numbers out of the queue and it would show that all the to-be-builts are literally not in there, how devastatingly low the numbers would be right now. I mean, it would be ridiculous.
I think a lot of things, too, on these to-be-builts, to get them successful as well, is to be able to position them right on the MLS. Because a lot of people just do, like, one photo, you know, and mm-hmm. just some things about maybe the area, but they don't get any feel for what that house is going to be. And, I mean, if these builders have built these houses, I mean— you got to add those extra pictures, because once people click through a couple, mm-hmm. then they're like, oh, done, next one, because they're not getting right. everything that they want.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so. It gets tricky, though, because, I mean, you know, you also get people that are, when they decide to move, they don't realize that building can take a year or 6 months, or, you know, if you buy one that's halfway through the process, you know, 90 days, and then they want to sell their house now because the market's hot now. So I really tell everybody that's thinking about doing something this year, get a strategy session put together with a real estate agent, maybe go talk to your builders of choice. Get going now and start looking at what is reality for timelines. And, you know, are you going to be able to take advantage of these good rates? Because over the year, the rates might jump up a quarter, 0.5%, you know, throughout the season. By the time you close on that house, you might have to budget having 0.5% higher interest rate, for example, as well. So, you know, just I think it's a good idea.
Well, I think sometimes, too, I mean, getting out and talking to those builders is a good thing. Sometimes relying just on your agent, which you have an agent, but mm-hmm. some agents are also kind of like push people away from new construction and building for a few reasons. Number one, it takes longer to get paid, you know, from a realtor. So, I mean, because, you didn't know this? We don't get paid until it actually closes. And so when you do that, then people, they might just throw stuff in there like, oh, you don't want to do that. It's kind of a pain in the butt. Or that they've had a real bad situation, you know, mm-hmm. with some new construction. Now, one thing we have to deal with new construction is that weather thing.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it just happens. I remember 2 years ago you were talking about, I think it was 2 years ago, mm-hmm. where it was just raining all the time. I mean, it's hard to get a basement in if it's raining all the time.
After we had that snowstorm in April. And then we had the it was just ridiculous. It screwed up our whole spring.
Well, we also brought Dean Nelson with Homes by Tradition, actually Mr. 2016 Builder of the Year.
That's correct.
That's wow.
awesome. Yeah. So, and we brought Dean in, and then obviously we weren't even talking about going this new construction to be built stuff, but what we wanted to kind of hit on was there's a lot of things happening, and a real huge market is building on the lake, you know, but there's not a lot of vacant lake lots available. So there's a lot more that goes into it when we're tearing down houses. And I just thought that it would be good that we could kind of talk through that whole process and what people go through and know, because there is, I mean, at some point, you know, you're on the lake, and a lot of people that are on the lake move up on the lake. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there might be an opportunity that, hey, you know what, maybe we kind of take that house and kind of build around it. Maybe take that house and get rid of it. Maybe it's sell that house and go get another one. So I think we're going to talk about all of those kind of things. And do we have to go to a break?
I think we better.
Okay.
All right. Now is a good time. And again, as we head to this break, inviting our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have a real estate type of question, call us 651-989-9226 or text us 81807. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Real Estate Show here on CCO. Chris and Andy, special guests. If you're just joining us, we welcome, as we always do, your phone calls and text messages. There's a line open if you want to use the phone, 651-989-9226. Text We have some of those coming in too, guys. 81807. Where do we go from here?
Perfect. Chris? We brought in Dean Nelson, president of Homes by Tradition, to kind of talk about kind of redoing, or tearing down a house. And I think that's where I want to start. Tearing down a house on the lake. What's all involved in that, Dean?
Well, our customers are reaching out to us to research the property, help them make this process a little bit simple, or simplify it by visiting the property with them, learning what the expectations are for budget parameters. Are they looking to add something to the house? Are they looking to tear it down and build new? So we just help guide them through that process, and I think it's smart for a customer. The first step is to align themselves with somebody who's reputable and has experience on lake properties.
Well, I think there's a big thing right there,
yeah.
Is because sometimes you get into that, and if you haven't dealt with it, you don't know what's going to happen later on. And, it's right. Easy to probably get rid of the house, but there's some things that, hey, all of a sudden you just start tearing down a house.
You have a huge miscellaneous expense category, yeah, on your budget.
Exactly, yeah. What would you say the first thing is, if you're contemplating tearing down your house, you think a survey would be the first thing to do?
Absolutely.
To understand?
That's a really, really good first step, because then you learn your setbacks. You can learn utility services, all kinds of those types of details, and then you could use that to go to the city, because sometimes your customer may not be aware, if they take that existing house down and build new, there might be another setback requirement from the lakeshore.
Yep.
And so sometimes you got to really factor that in, and what kind of building envelope do you have once you get that survey and truly understand what it is you can build on that property.
I think something interesting about that too is that if someone is looking into that and they just go to the city and say, hey, city, can we build a house on here? The first thing they're going to tell you, number one, is go get that survey. But I also think it's super important in the resale of that. If you have a survey, and let's just say you can't do it, or you decide, let's sell this one and we'll go somewhere else. I think when you do that, you're giving someone else the full information to be able to make a decision when they're purchasing that house. And it's only going to get better, because the more knowledge they have is, you can kind of dive into that right buyer.
So backing up just a titch then, if I'm a seller thinking of selling my lake home, which may be, eligible for a tear down or, rebuild or remodel or whatever, would it be to my advantage, Chris, to spend the $800, $900, whatever you end up spending on a survey, to have that before I even list the property? Do you think it adds value to the buyers coming
1,000%.
I agree.
Everyone always asks that.
And nobody wants to do it. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, and then sometimes we have on area lakes around here, we have some lakeshore that's not even owned.
Right.
And you kind of find that out, when you do a survey, if you don't know already.
Oh, it's critical insurance, I think. To have a survey in hand, know what you can and can't do, and have a little bit of feasibility and study on the front end can save you a lot of money in the back end.
Go ahead, Amy.
Well, I was going to say, I had that exact example over in Medicine Lake in Plymouth, where we had a property listed where they're like, yep, that's our piece down by the lake. And it actually was owned by the city. And they actually have a lease on that space. And so technically you do not own lakefront property. You have the right through that lease. But what if the lease goes away? Then I said it's very important for us to make sure that lease is current, updated, and that you can actually grandfather that in when you sell the property to the next owner too. So food for thought.
And that you can actually go into the water if you wanted to go into the water.
Right.
Because if you don't cross that, there's a lot of areas and lakes around that people do not own the lakeshore. They're lakefront, but they're not on the lakeshore. So it's kind of a little tricky thing. So we've decided, yes, the survey's great. We're going to rip down a house. What's the process of getting rid of the home?
Well, it's a demolition process. I just want to tell customers out there that if you're looking at a property, if it's a challenging lot or if there's a house that is maybe in a vacated situation, you got variances. You can do a couple different methods or approaches to that property to get the city or county or whatever governing body it is to approve a build that may not normally be acceptable. And
I'll tell you what, the other part is that if you have someone that has experience that knows what other variances have been accepted in the past, makes a huge difference as well.
Well, I was going to ask you, Chris, where do you find out which governing authorities actually do have authority over top of your land and the building restrictions, like Corps of Engineers, DNR, the city, maybe it's the county? You know, land and resources we deal with up in Alexandria. So what do you how do you find that out? Is that on the title, or do we actually go to the city and ask, or where do you recommend we start?
I mean, I think that's what you do. You start with the city, and then if the city doesn't do it, most likely the county is going to be in charge. Now, the DNR controls lakefront and lakeshore and stuff like that, but the city has obviously worked together with them and know what they can and can't do. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so what's it take to tear down that house?
Well, first of all, you're going to have to get approval from the city, so you're going to have to get a permit for it. Typically, a demolition of a property is going to be in that $20,000 to $25,000 range. And then they'll come in, they'll take the house down, and typically the city is going to require a new home being proposed on that property. So when they demolish the existing home, there's a hole that's exposed, and they want a foundation or construction to start closely after that, because they just don't want a bunch of properties around the lake to be sitting vacant. Mm-hmm. Without construction activity.
Yeah, which totally makes sense. How about, like, elevations and stuff like that? I think that's another thing that, you know, people, I mean, can't envision. I mean, that's why there's HGTV's $1 billion, you know, because people can't envision how that sits.
Oh, yeah, that's very important as well, you know, knowing what your ordinary high water level is. So each lake has its own high water level. And so understanding what that is and knowing what the lowest floor elevation is as you design a house and put that house on the property, a survey is going to help us with that, because then it can help us with how high the house sits out of the property, if you can and can't have a basement.
Right.
Because the old house might have a basement, but it might have been built without that restriction.
Or FEMA changed the map on you, like what happened to one of my customers up in Lindstrom, where all of a sudden their house became not buildable because they changed the way the map went. And then, it's a mess.
Oh, but yeah.
Happens can be a mess. Time. Yep.
No fun. Okay, so now what about, like, the utilities? If water and sewer is connected to that house, is that all in that $20,000 to $25,000?
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. Typically, in a demolition estimate, we'll have the contractor estimate utility service cutoffs, and then also the other contractors will pay for the tie-in, or they'll estimate the tie-in for those utilities.
Are you seeing anyone like, hey, say my house is going to get demolished, let's come in and sell everything inside?
Yeah, we just recently had that, actually.
Did you? Yeah. And so they get rid of everything. But what about, like, things like asbestos? What if I have, or I have lead on the windows? It was built prior to 1978. Does that all factor into?
It does factor in, and that's actually a really important point. We have had demolition where the customer has gone through and paid for an estimate to have a house demolished in the past, and I'll go in there in the process, and the city is going to require an asbestos testing, and they may not have that testing yet. So we want to get that report, so they're going to permit for that as well, and how to properly mitigate that in the house.
Okay. Sounds expensive, potentially.
Well, it can, but that's why I think you got to do all your homework up front before you start doing that. And I think that's what people do. Maybe they just react a little too quick and, you know, get rid of things. And there's a text coming up that's talking about things being grandfathered in. And sometimes when you rip stuff down, it doesn't happen. So we'll get to that after the break.
All right. We'll take this break. We have another half hour of the show to go. So if you have a real estate type of question, 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. And welcome back to the Real Estate Show. If you have a question related to real estate, 651-989-9226, or send us a text like some folks have been doing, 81807. Chris and Eddie, you want to grab a couple as we...
Yeah, let's do that. Let's ask, how many continuing ed credits do you need to complete and take courses online? I assume they're talking about the real estate test. You need 90 hours to get your test, and then 30 hours that first year of continuing education. So 90 hours
sure
to get a
correct,
pass
a
state and federal test.
Yeah, I'm just told where to go and what to study.
Right.
Okay, I have well over $500,000 of equity in our home. So nice. Who's your best recommendation to speak without starting a reverse mortgage? We'll kind of probably come back to that one. On that, we've got a couple people, but we'll get that to you later in the show. We're just trying to get the number. This one's nice. When is Morgan going to be on? We are fans of the Morgan Rooney Hour on WCCO. We're out, Andy. And then, are existing structures on Lakeshore grandfathered in the original zoning and the remodel also? Good example is boathouses.
Good question.
What do you have to say about that one, Mr. Dean?
Well, yes, we're working with a customer right now that has a house that's really close to the lake, and there's going to be just a minor remodel for the house so we can keep it in its exact location. If you
there's some valuation stuff, isn't there, that if you only do, I mean, I know that some lakes, it's like, hey, if you only if there's an existing house there, but it's in non-conforming, that you can do an amount of remodeling, isn't there?
There's evaluation method, and then there's also a percentage of keeping the home in place.
Okay.
So, for instance, if there's foundation, if there's the structural components of the house in place, they may allow us to proceed with that.
Yeah, and I know boathouses are a real interesting thing and a huge sale incentive. I mean, we had one that I tell you what, I think that the boathouse probably raised that house $200,000, and it wasn't that big, but it was super cool. And it was one of those that you knew on the lake which one it was. And I mean, and people love that. So I know you can kind of replace it. Used to be you could repair it, but now you can replace exactly what was there, but do it all new.
Right, right. Yeah. We had one incident recently, last year actually, where a customer had a boathouse, a small little dock off of it in the lake, and they wanted to tear their house down, and the city actually made them take the boathouse down as well, because all the structures on the property had to come to today's compliancy. If they would have remodeled it, they probably could have kept that boathouse.
Yep, that's all. There's so many intricate little details when you're actually doing it on the lake. We'll kind of get into the building part, but I think we got a phone call here.
We do have a phone. Larry in Mankato is calling in. Larry, what is your question, please?
I just have a comment. About 9 years ago, I bought some property from the neighbor, and it's an older part of town. And at any rate, back in those old days, you know how they figured out where the property lines were, you know, five steps from here and blah, blah. But anyway, he suggested that we do a surveyor's drawing of the properties, and it only cost a few $100s. I think back then, about 9 years ago, I think it was $600. So it was like $300 a piece. And what an asset to have that. And, you know, if any question ever comes up about where the property lines are, I mean, I have got where the surveying stakes are at. I happen to know from the north end of my house to the south end, it's off by about, I don't know, I think it was about a half an inch. I mean, that is how specific that drawing is.
You bet.
Your comments, your discussion, rather, about the survey to have, you know, for like when demolishing, you know, lake property or something, that reminded me of that. You know, and I just thought I'd throw that in there. That's all. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. I think, and that is so important. I'll tell you what, the other thing it does, it doesn't have to just be on the lake. I mean, it can be, you know, a normal house in a normal neighborhood. But if you have a survey and you have the stakes in there and you can actually show people, it just – the next house that they go to and look at, and they say, well, where are the property lines? Well, we're not sure where they are. Well, gosh, that other one knows exactly where they are. And then that goes into their thinking that, oh, my gosh, everything about that house,
well, that's nice.
I bet you that furnace
mind.
Is better. You know, I mean, it's crazy how that does it. But if you do that, and it's like sometimes radon systems, you know, if you just – you know, everyone on the inspection phase tests for radon.
Sure.
Most everyone does. And if it comes up higher, they typically ask the seller in which to install those. Sometimes if an existing house already has the radon thing, that might, or the mitigation system, test it yourself. You know, think you can call. I just was driving down and I saw on a billboard, you know, mnradon.com or whatever, that you can get a test for $9 and be able to send it in. But do that way before you're thinking about listing. Mm-hmm. At least you have that test. Maybe it's six. You put in the mitigation system, it makes you look better.
True. But one thing I'd caution everybody about is that as a seller, just because you put a radon mitigation system in doesn't mean the radon problem goes away necessarily, because they don't all work or work effectively. I've seen where I've sold new houses, we do the quick test on it just because. And even the new houses will have high levels of radon, and it's all about the area, the soils. And so maybe when you're selling that house, for example, and I don't want to get into this conversation because we could talk the whole show, but idea of having, you know, what is a solution versus here's what we'll do for the buyer coming in, and now it's the buyer's problem.
But then, Dean, on new construction, you guys just put in a passive system, right?
I actually put in an active system in all our houses.
The whole active system. But a lot of builders, they don't do that.
And explain what that is. Would you quick? Do you mind?
Well, passive systems are required by code, and it's basically allowing for a fan and a system to be put in to automatically draft or exhaust the radon.
Organically, though. There's no fan or anything, and it's just a pipe sticking out of the ground, basically.
Correctly, from the subfloor underneath the slab on grade in the basement.
Okay.
And we chose as a builder to do active in all of our houses as a requirement.
Okay, so it's actually got the fan system in there pumping it?
It does, yeah.
Cool.
Okay. All right. You were talking about basements and elevations and stuff like that. And I think You know, people want, you know, high ceilings in that lower level. So say you have a walkout Rambler and you want those high ceilings. I mean, that can cause quite the interesting steps into the house as well if you don't know
it does,
how to engineer that.
Well, customers all want the high ceilings, and, you know, we got floor trusses now that allow us to clear span everything. So on a lake, if you have an instant where it's pretty flat and customer wants a lookout condition or a walkout, they may have to sacrifice some of that ceiling height in the basement to allow for that, because you don't want to import a bunch of fill around the house and have the home sitting kind of on a knoll. So you could do retaining walls. You can work with landscaping and grading and things like that to really make it look natural, but you really have to be cognizant of that ceiling height. May have to give up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting. I think the elevation and what you're dealing with on a lake is real important before that plan phase starts, because I think if it's like, oh, my gosh, I love this house. It's the perfect house, and I'm going to go put it on that lot. And when it becomes a lake lot that you have to kind of work around, I mean, you could be importing a ton of fill and have a driveway that's, you know, got a real steep incline.
Really, that's correct.
Yeah, and I think, too, on keep in mind when you're building on the lake, keep in mind what is around you. And when I say that, it's like what a parking is available, like off-street parking. And can you create some more parking on yours? But there's a thing that we have to deal with all the time on Lakeshore. It's called impervious surface.
Correct.
How does that all work?
Cities are going to require typically about a 30% impervious requirement. So,
and what does that mean?
So you take the overall site itself, and then you minus the house itself, any sort of driveway, patios, concrete sidewalks, and things like that, any of that surface that is not permeable gets factored into that impervious calculation. So if your house and all of those surfaces are at or less than 30%, the city will more than likely approve that.
But then when you're talking about that variance, I mean, is impervious surface one of those things that you might be able to get?
You can go in with that as well. We were successful. We had a home that was about 24% because of the restrictions and the setback requirements. They allowed us through the variance to get approved.
And there's some products that you can use as well for sidewalks and stuff that can get you away with that, or is it not so much anymore?
Yeah, pavers and some other applications. If you do concrete pavers and you split them and you allow the water to run between them, you may or may not get that pass through, but it's, you know, you can certainly ask.
Well, that's kind of the crazy part, Chris. I mean, sometimes these people have $1 million-plus investments into these houses, and then they'll actually have the, I call it the goat path, right down to the cabin where it's pavers just to the width of their car tires, and then down towards the house they'll actually put in, like, the concrete slabs, but they'll have the paver path all the way down. Which, you know, man, if you got that fancy car and you want to have a cabin, it gets to be tricky.
Yeah. I know, Denny, you did that on your property.
Yeah, there were little concrete type of blocks, and you could, with holes in the middle, and you could grow grass. So it kind of camouflaged them, and it's an extra parking spot.
Yeah, you can park.
Cool.
It looks like lawn.
Yep. We've had customers with access that was an access point where they had a dock or something in the past. That dock had to be vacated, and so they've actually put a gravel driveway underneath the sod, and so they mow right through it. But there's a substrate underneath that grass that's strong enough for a vehicle to drive on.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you're not going to cause those big ruts.
Hey, I did get a hold of our reverse mortgage guest that we had on a couple weeks ago. That was Cindy Allen with Bay Equity. Her number is 651-245-3940, 651-245-3940, or just contact the show here and we'll make sure to forward you Cindy's information.
And that was in regards to the person that had $500,000 equity and that they're wondering about a reverse mortgage referral.
Great resource.
Okay. What else do we have to worry about on the lake?
Sometimes there's a heavily wooded property, and you got to be very aware of tree preservation policies. We recently had another home that we did where it's large oak trees, 25, 28 caliper type trees, so big ones. And the city's going to require a replacement policy. So, you know, they're going to make you on a survey also note and define this type of tree and the size of tree on the survey if it's basically six inches or more. And so just being privy of that, because those are things that may be unforeseen you're not thinking about as you get into the process that, you know, cost a little bit of money and also might be something that you got to consider, because if it's a big, huge oak tree that's beautiful for the property, you know, that you got to take that in consideration when you're designing the house and laying the lot out.
know, we talked about water runoff and impervious surface, but they're also probably, I mean, from the houses that are next door to it. I mean, obviously a new house, and when you're in a tight situation like that, can cause issues to the other house if you don't take care of that.
For sure. Rating. That's why that survey is so critical, because it may be a retaining wall where you break the grade to the adjacent property so your water isn't flowing on theirs, their or their property isn't flowing on yours.
Right.
And so you study all that with the survey, and that goes into how high you raise the house or how low you bring it in, how much imports you bring into it. So there's a lot of work that goes into it, and you know that's where we have a really strong system, because we have a developer in-house as well that can help us study all that for customers.
Yeah.
All right, tell you what, let's take a break. We have more show to come. If you have a real estate type of question, 651-989-9226, or if it's easier, send a text, 81807. And welcome back to our real estate show here on CCO. If you have that kind of a real estate question, 651-989-9226, there is a line open, or send a text, 81807. Here again, Chris and Ann.
Yeah, and Dean Nelson with Homes by Tradition, president, CEO. What else are you?
Wow.
Everything else?
Janitor. Okay. No, wait. That's my office.
Hey, do what you got to do.
I always throw that on the business card that I'm the janitor, and they, what?
Yeah. Put it that way. There's many hats.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I kind of, Dean and I got kind of a long story and with Tradition. I've been along with Tradition long time before Cobblestone started in Apple Valley, if you know it. They did a traditional neighborhood design.
Yeah.
And at that time, I remember there was 90% walkouts. It was on an old gravel pit area, asphalt company, 90% walkouts. And at that time, they and everyone wants a walkout, right? At that time, they decided, no, we're not doing that. We're going to kind of create, I mean, that whole traditional neighborhood design where you're out on your porch visiting with your family and, you know, the main level walks out the yard. They filled in 90% of them and had 90% flat lots instead, which was, I mean, kind of crazy. And then they moved over to Spirit of Branchin. That's where you office right now.
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Homes by Tradition is kind of their upper end builder.
We're the luxury builder for the Tradition companies.
Luxury builder. You guys got a we got a great because I'm part of it as well.
Absolutely.
But Reverence, kind of in the Credit River area over by Territory in the back half, opened up a development over there.
Correct. Yeah, it's 23 lots, just beautiful. I think it's probably the best property sites in the South Metro.
We had one of the luxury properties where you had to pay $5 in which to be able to get in. It's kind of fun sitting in those.
Did they ever total up what they did for charity with all those different luxury homes? I know that they had a certain goal. It was like a pretty aggressive number. They were
talking about the dream home entries.
Yeah. And then did they ever give out the totals yet of what they raised for charity? Do you remember?
That was like, wasn't it like 74,000?
Yeah, I thought they were shooting for something like that. Yeah. That's, isn't that awesome?
Yeah,
I mean,
really nice.
So we get that entertainment. I mean, you know, and this is, they should almost do that for the whole parade of homes. I mean, honestly, you should buy a ticket and then you buy an access pass, because a lot of those people are looking for fun. And they're having a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good source of entertainment. They're getting ideas. Hey, they pay to go to the home and remodeling shows, right? You should pay to go to the – and then everybody says, you're crazy. We want traffic, you know. But the idea there to raise money for charity and let people have a good time, it'd be a lot of fun.
That's a great program.
Yeah. And I think they've done that with the Artisan Tour too.
Yeah.
I mean, that Artisan Tour is kind of fun. I know you did a Meet the Builder segment. Andy, I know you had a few of those.
I did 9 of them last fall where we did the wine and cheese Meet the Builders.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh, they are huge success.
Yeah. Get a good turnout.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fun stuff. Yep.
Well, it's a lot. It's, you get one-on-one time with somebody with your knowledge. I mean, how great is that? Get out, you know, pick your brain and ideas, and, you know, and it's neat. Fun environment.
Yeah. You know, and we've been talking about, you know, how to build a lakefront property or build a home on that lakefront property. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about how, with the design, landscape goes so much into that as well, because we were talking about the elevations of the basement and stuff, you know, and trying to come out. I mean, a lot of people like to use that main floor and have not maybe just a deck, but maybe it's kind of going out onto a patio instead.
Well, you know, to your point earlier, everybody was pushing walkout conditions for basements. And what we've seen recently, too, in the last couple of years, of customers come in and they ask us, Dean, we want to have an outdoor living space that's tied into our main floor living space. So the dining room and the kitchen flows together. They have nice access right out of their main floor to a patio, a trellis with an outdoor fire pit and so on. And I think they would use that much more than a walkout condition. So we've seen a push to that where you fill in the back end maybe. Maybe it's a natural walkout condition, and they're still filling it in with retaining walls and creating that outdoor patio space on the main level.
So that's designed to really connect that with the main level of the house. And entertainment space gets extended. Now you have, you know, the pool, or you have the tennis courts or sport courts or whatever you have outside that are awesome. Can all be, or Chris, like you talk about, the kitchens outside all the time. Kind of a fun way to tie it all together.
That's interesting, because I have a listing like that. And what they did is they filled in intentionally. I mean, they designed the house to be able to have eventually have a pool off of their main area. Now, it was on acreage, and they could have created lookout windows for sure and probably even a walkout. But they moved the walkout to the side, but it took away all the windows from the lower level. You know, and so, and then some people complain about that. And then it's kind of like, well, this is the reason they did it. And then they're like, oh, that's a really good idea.
Yep, we're doing it. We're doing it a lot now.
Yeah. You guys, with that full basement concept as well, are you doing a lot of like zero thresholds coming in from like the garage, or do you have the capacity to do that? Or?
Oh, we're doing a lot of that.
And yeah.
Yeah, where we actually bring the foundation up a little bit, and then we'll actually drop the main floor down into that foundation. So you maybe have one riser or no risers from the driveway to the house.
Right.
You'll see a lot of active adult people who may be in a handicapped situation.
Uh-huh.
That's a really, really good solution for them.
Well, I'll tell you what, when my dad years ago got hurt, and all of a sudden you've got a grown man that decide he's in a wheelchair and we're taking a bad leg, trying to get him in and out of a house with, you know, 3-4 stairs, I dreamed about having that, being able to, you know, go right out the threshold into the car or whatever and take him to the doctor. But at the, you know, so things change in life. I think that's something to really think about is as we age, you know, that, or even just, let's say you have a bad knee and you just don't want to have the extra steps in the house or whatever. So.
Well, and a lot of people, too, I think, are out there that, you know, just maybe like your dad. I mean, if you could have redone that house to be able to fit him because he loved that area,
yep,
per se. I mean, a lot of people are running that. And you guys are doing kind of like some like major remodels, too, kind of bring that new into the old, but then people don't have to leave.
Correct. It flex as you grow. It can satisfy a couple with kids today. And as the kids go out of the house, they can stay on the main floor as they age in place.
Awesome. How about if you have a place on the lake, you have an existing house, and you want to get started, and you've got to go meet from that time, how quick can I get it done? Or, I mean, how long does that process typically take that you've seen?
You speaking, Chris, about the design for architecture and the survey, or just kind of
get me a new house all the way up? Yeah.
Well, it can vary a little bit. If you've got good ideas and some good inspiration, we can probably get the architecture side done in a month or two, depending on how many iterations or how many design revisions you do. And then from there, you go and you use that to place the house on a survey. And from there, it's going through the financing, as you well know, and going into the permit process. So it could be probably anywhere from realistically 3 months to 5 months on that front end before you actually start the construction process.
And that's really important. I mean, you know, when you're talking about like the architectural stuff, starting with the drawings and whatever, you'll do a sketch plan where it kind of lays out the main level of the house. Then when they say, yes, we like that, then they do cross elevation, side elevations, top, you know, so then you can see like window placement, what the trim looks like, what the gables look like, you know, and that stuff also becomes important when you're on a lake, because sometimes that you never think about the back, or what they call now the front of the house, now yeah, becomes a focal point.
For sure. Yeah, we actually go out on the property. I'd recommend going out on the property with our customers, standing there, looking at sight lines, checking out the trees, looking at the grades, and then from there, designing a concept. And then with that concept, you understand the flow of the house, how you want to walk through and see as far as views from the inside. And from there, I think a good courtesy meeting would be to go with the city and talk to them initially right at that stage before you get too far into the architecture, so you're not on the right path.
If I want to save my summer, because you don't get a lot of summer here, and I want to enjoy that lakefront, when should I start the actual building? I mean, would you start it in the fall and just work through the whole winter and hopefully get it back by July 4th?
Yeah, I think before the frost goes in the ground, approximately October-ish time frame, gets you in the ground, build through the winter. It's a nice dry stage to build through. Then you get finished and you can go into your house and enjoy it during the summer.
Well, we're kind of running out of time here, but this is a fantastic topic. I think that most of us could listen to for hours. So how do we, you know, Chris, you know, and you guys obviously work together. How do you guys, would we get a hold of you? What's the great first step, you know, to, if I was interested in doing a project like this, what do I do?
Why don't you give them the website, your Homes by Tradition website?
It's www.homesbytradition.com.
There's a great gallery on there.
Mm-hmm.
And is there any photos of me on there yet?
No, I was just going to say, it's a gallery of Chris.
That's why I did it. It's a really good
Chris
gallery.
With the porch.
You have to really,
Chris with the kitchen.
You
Chris
get a password for that.
I'll have to talk to Nina about marketing.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, but I'll tell you what, in reverence, too, and I know we're working on some stuff over in Eden Prairie, you got some stuff on the lake, but all the fun stuff, you build an amazing property. I actually used to own a construction company, and I swore off builders until Mr. Dean built one for my client, and I never got one phone call, which is very unusual.
Yeah.
A bad phone call.
Right, right.
So.
Well, I tell you what, we can also probably catch you guys in the Parade of Homes, I'm sure, coming up here, the spring preview, which is in about a month.
Yep. And then so we'll we won't actually have a house in the spring preview, but we'll have one. We're designing one right now for the fall.
Oh, cool.
Preview, yep.
All built right. them too nice. He sold them all.
I wonder who helped him do that.
That was you.
How do we get in touch with you guys before we run out of time?
ChrisRooney.com.
And, of course, you can get me at Prasky.com.
Okay.
Prasky. Why? Because I care. No. You've been waiting for me to do that for years,
I've been
right?
waiting for that, yes. Yeah. It's just really. The Mickey Mouse Club, absolutely.
Which this right. is.
Yeah. We've got to run. Thank you, guys. Thanks for the show today. We'll be back again next week here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.